Good morning, everybody. Thank you for coming this morning. Today's program, I was looking in my pile this morning. I found a piece of sheet and I thought it may be good to talk about that today. It's called Paul Reminders. Some of you probably read it before, practiced a little bit before, but some reason you can do again. And if you never heard it, so you hear first time. Before I go talk about the subject, traditionally recommended before we receive teachings, it's recommended that we connect with our sources and spiritual sources. Whatever spiritual sources that you have to be connected with that. Now, if you don't have one, perhaps you figure out this time. Figure out means you will know what to do. Namely, Buddha Dhamma Sangha. The ultimate Buddha, the ultimate truth, Dharma, the ultimate practitioners, that will be Sangha as a group. And next part is also called, second part is a Semchi. Some degree of understanding importance of Dharma in our life. If there is no sense of importance of Dharma, spiritual in our life, you won't hear anything, but you hear some sounds, but you don't really hear Dharma. You don't really get it because you didn't ask for it. So the door of receiving is closed. Therefore, nothing get in. Everything will bounce back. So some sense of importance of why you're here and why spiritual is important, why practice is important, why meditation is important to you. You really need to readjust your view, attitude towards your practice. So that will be Simji. And this importance of the spiritual practice is not benefit only for ourselves, but the rest of all fellow living beings. If we are more enlightened, more perfect, more likely we will contribution towards all living beings are more positive. If we are insane and crazy, confused, what do you expect? What contributions possibly can you contribute for all fellow living beings? So that will be Simji, means motivation, attitude, part of the practice is important. And third, Pensim, is everything, anything, practice we do, meditation we do, or practice we do, or learning Buddha Dharma, is beneficial for other living beings rather than beneficial for myself only. Very important part of number third. Kulong Sangbo. Fourth, in order to deliver this message or share this Dharma or spiritual with others, you also have to have kind-hearted, it's very important. Kind-minded or kind-hearted. Kulong Sangbo. Kind-hearted is also associated with the compassion. So it will have a kind and compassion. So everything, anything, you recite a mala around a mantra, you're thinking about kind and compassion, and you recite mantra, it becomes more powerful. If you just recite mantra without kind and compassion, it helps, but the motivation, there's a lack of that. So good food, but certain things are missing in it. Next is Moamulam. So every Sunday you come to Dharma practice and practice Dharma, listen Dharma. You're supposed to dedicate it, your merit, your wisdom, your compassion to all living beings. So those are the important part of the practice. Keeping that in mind while you're receiving teaching. So now we're going to talk about the four reminders. Now, if you're not practicing the four reminders, not much to remind, except starting learning something new. But if you do this practice every day, it becomes a reminder. It reminds you again. So, let me remind you these four reminders. So, first four reminders is precious human life. Root text saying, So root text is saying, precious human life not happen without causes and conditions, but the majority of people have no idea whatsoever. So it comes with the multiple causes and conditions, and then you're born in a human form. It's so precious, but the majority of people don't think it's precious. Majority of people might think it's a very boring life. Life is I literally hear from people saying life is the word sack or something? Like, is that a word or no? It's a bad word?
It sucks.
Say again?
Suck.
Suck, yeah. Life is suck. And literally people might say life is nothing but the pain. I see truth in it, by the way. Those people, what they're saying, they're not lying. They're not cheating. They're saying what they feel. So it is. There is a truth in it. And here we're talking about precious human life. Contradicts with that. So where is the precious when you have to deal with the old age, sickness, and death? And then also everybody's problem is your problem, so you are nothing but the problem. Not much other than a problem. Whole life. So where is the precious point? Where is the precious part of the life? That's a question. So answer for that is, in general speaking, majority living beings experiencing pain, suffering, and nothing else they experience much. Although they experience it from time to time, emotional levels, so sometimes they are temporarily a little bit happy, temporarily they are a little bit satisfied with their hunger, thirsty, craving, desire, or let's buy a new cloth. For temporarily, you feel like good. Because you like that shirt or that cloth, so when you put it in temporarily, you feel like happy. But they don't last too long, by the way. Majority, what the human unenlightened beings are so-called happiness, they're so temporary. They call kiji lani jikwenjor, means they move around every second of the second. And they can lose every second of the second. They're gone and don't remember what was the happy was a few seconds ago. So it's a shifting, lose. So majority unenlightened beings, the so-called happiness is something to do with the six sensories, how we feel, how we taste, how we hear sound, how we see nice things, and it action, reaction, there's some types of happiness. But they're all of temporary happiness. But this temporary happiness is what we attach to it. Problem is, it's a temporary. They don't stay too long. So this is a majority experience. So go with the majority. Yes, life is, what was it? Sack. Did I say correctly? Because I don't want to say wrong accent here. Life is pain. Life is suffering. So because of that, they see that. Now, then, why is this a precious human life? The precious human life is percentage of living beings are a percentage of living beings feel life is precious is very small percentage. It happened to be you are one of them because you are listening. Or it looks like you are listening. It seems to me you are listening, but just because you listen does not mean you hear. Of course, that's always more detail there. So anyway, let's say you hear it and you're here and you feel life is precious, or precious human life. The why is precious is because the number of living beings in a universe or in a world, number of living beings are countless. No matter who is counting, cannot count it. So the countless beings and a small percentage feel life is precious. There are not many people, many living beings feel that way. And how they feel that is they recognize that our existence, a physical body, what called my body, or our body, what we call our body, or my body, what we call, while you are trapped inside your body, that you can do all kinds of activities. In fact, you are free to do good things. In fact, you are free to refuse doing bad things that is harmful for others, harmful for yourself. Nobody can force you to do anything if you refuse it. That is tremendous freedom. So therefore, when you see that, when you realize that, when you understand that properly, you begin to feel yourself precious human life. This precious human life has infinity possibilities to do good things. Not just one thing, not just two things, infinite number of things you can do good things while you have the human body. It is so precious because time is uncertain. Losing this precious human life, the time is unknown. And nobody have a guarantee. And nobody can say, I'm going to live 100 years. I know we said that, really, 10 years is still questionable. So, it's so precious when you realize life is precious, then you look at the duration of the time, you can be dead tomorrow. Who can guarantee you're not dead tomorrow? Although life insurance is really exciting. As long as you bring some money today, I'll pay you quadruple tomorrow if you died. So anyway, nobody have a guarantee. So life is it's really death. It's uncertain, and then this precious human life. On top of that, from the Buddhist point of view, people who engage in a practice of bodhicitta, people who practice lojong, mind training, people practice taking and sending and taking practice, people do good things for the community and the large, people serve for other humanities or living beings in a large context, they are precious. because their life is precious, because they're doing some of their precious activities. Their activity is precious, their life is automatically precious. For that reason, but how many people will actually doing that? Number get shrink means number is not large, less numbers. Because of less number, it become more special again. It is not many people can own a diamond, not many people can own a Rolls Royce car. I've been told the Rolls Royce car is real good or more expensive. So how many people you own? Probably most people here, or maybe if you are one person own and 100 people, it will be very lucky one that own Rolls Royce. So same, because it's not majority on that car, it become very valuable. Diamond, not everybody have that fancy diamond, so it become very valuable. Most people don't practice a bodhicitta and loving kindness, compassion. So people who practice that become very precious. And precious human life. Their life is precious because they practice precious activity. Is that understood? Okay. There is a traditional translation. Let me read. Traditional translation, precious human life. Contemplate the preciousness of the being, so free and well-powered, F-A-V-O-R-E-D, powered. This is difficult to gain. We will not talk too detailed, but how difficult to gain human life in general, human body, compared with all the living beings. The human beings, our numbers are stars in the daytime. Do you see star daytime? Not much, especially near big cities. Human pollution with no solution. But anyway, when I say stars, although we have problem here is a population, we said there's too many people in this country, but still compare with the living beings and air, living beings and water, living beings on earth, all other living beings in a mind only body. You don't want to know those questions, because it will be overwhelm you. Therefore, number of human may be populated, the population is a problem, but still every country, still they figure out how many people there, more or less. They will say that this many people we have. So that means it's still countable. So, here saying, this is difficult to gain. Easy to lose. How easy to lose? Since we have a lot of doctors and medicines available. No matter how much medicine we have, no matter how many doctors we have, easy to lose. All it has to do is one bite of food or one air breath of inhale, exhale, inhale, or anything can take your life. You can lose. It's that bad. Not to mention about flying objects that can be contact on your head. We are, in the Buddhist text, we're saying we are like water bubble. And water bubble is very easy to disappear. Usually water bubbles are located on the tip of the grass. Early morning, if you walk on the bare feet. Easy to lose. Now I must do something meaningful. Now I must do something meaningful. This is a question you need to ask yourself. Now I need to do something meaningful. Did you do any meaningful until now? What's a meaningful? The meaningful means that something do not bring you side effect. Do not cause you problems. That will be meaningful. In anything you do, it's harmful. That's not so meaningful activity. Anything you do for yourself, it's harmful for you. That's not so meaningful. That is wasting your energy and creating negative karma. Now I must do something meaningful. Here we're talking about put your mind in a love, compassion. Put your mind in a bodhisattva activities so you can serve, help everybody. Well, you can do that still. And you can do good things for yourself, for your near and dear ones. Well, you can do that because your body, speech, your mind is still functioning. That will be, for me, that will be meaningful. So, now I must do something meaningful. So this is the first part of the precious human life. So we're going to meditate here and see how precious your life is. Do not view negative way yourself, because you don't get too far. In other words, viewing negative way, you will disgrace, or you lower down, or you deluded or polluted yourself, your life. In other words, you put yourself on the wrong place, harmful place. That will be if you put down yourself. You put yourself once and for all, you feel, you hear few words of Dharma. It is precious human life. I hear what are really important things that I need to hear. And I never heard that before, but now I hear this is precious. This is a valuable, the valuable, precious thing. You think that way. And since you think that way, your body, speech, mind become precious because you practice preciousness. So, how precious yourself, and it's your life is meaningful. It's your life. It's you are free to do. You are free to shopping. You are free to do spiritual shopping too. You're free to reject the things you don't want to buy. So you're free to say, I don't want any negative in my life. Yeah? Complete the preciousness of beings. So free and well-favored. This is a difficult to gain. You need to say, what I have, who am I, is a difficult to come this far. So this is a perfect and a precious, that who you are, what you are. And then, now I must do something meaningful. Rest of my little leftover life, I will dedicate something special for everybody. And a special for everybody is my special for myself. Now, we meditate here for a few minutes. See, you can develop the precious human life and feel good about yourself. That is a practice, that is separate practice that people need to do, especially people have low self-esteem and people don't feel good about herself, himself, then you practice this. But people already feel precious human life, you already feel then what you need to do, it becomes a reminder. It remind you. Next part is called impermanence. So the root text, I don't remember right now here. It's not coming in my mind. I did remember now. So it's saying the impermanence. What is impermanent? So today you are impermanent. Is that today you? Yesterday you have some money, but today you don't have. That will be impermanent. One way to look at, You used to have a boyfriend, girlfriend, a very nice one, and no longer you have that. That will be impermanent. You used to own a nice car. That will be, now you own a little old junk car. That will be impermanent. And also, you used to be look Meru a lot because you look so handsome, beautiful. And lately, you don't look at Meru too much. Because you don't like to look at much, because you don't look feel like wow kind of thing. More like oh no kind of thing. No, by the way, I'm not checking on your mirrors. I'm not checking on your closet or mirrors. Don't. It's all mental. I see. Mentally transparent. See, so. The whole world and inhabitants are impermanent. That means, right now we're talking about the population, right? Right now this population of the people we're talking about, giving 100 or 110 years from now on, even today's born child is already gone after 110 years. So all living beings that are moving, generally, giving 110 years, they're all gone. So we can say impermanent. But the majority don't go that far. Way before, they're young, healthy, strong, and they're gone. So majority can't make it 110. And maybe average, I don't know this year, so what the survey. How you say? Survey. With the they check on. Survey, yeah. I don't know what the average is, but I bet 50 or 60 will be pretty good. So here it's saying, the whole world and its inhabitants are impermanent. So your parent, family, loved ones, near and dear ones, your Sangha here, your Lama, they're all here very temporarily. So do you. We all temporarily here. If we know that, we will be kind to each other more because life is impermanent. Impermanent. Next part, in particularly, the life of beings is like a bubble. Death comes without warning. So it just comes without even warning. It's like police have to give you a warning before they come. Here, death, no warning. But they come. Death comes without warning. This body will be talking about this body is like objectively, but I want you to be subjectively yourself. your body is, when death comes, it's called, your body is called corpse. No matter how handsome, how beautiful, you don't want to spend whole night to sleep near there. You feel a little strange. In some cases, you can sleep because it had to be go in a different room. And in ancient times, some dead bodies at midnight, they're moving. So it's more scary. You suppose they're dead, are you moving? Kind of like that. It's called zombie. It's a zombies. Zombies have problem, can't get through the low doors, low windows, because they forgot how to bend. They have to walk like this. If it's stuck on, they don't know how to get in. So if you run into a zombie, all you have to do is lay down on the floor, not much to do. Hello. Zombies. At that time, so this body will be a corpse. At that time, what you do? There's not much to do, kind of late. Although a lot of people will say, Lama, I'll do good things later on when I retired. But really, retire doesn't come. When they do come, it's too late. Do anything. So it's better when you say, I will do things when I'm retired, it's a form of pushing things for mañana. Form of laziness or form of excuse. Form of excuse. So that instead of saying, I don't want to do, you say, I'll do when I get time. So at that time, the Dharma will be my only help. Here, what it really means, what you invested, your body, speech, mind, what you invested. You have a lot of investment as far as karma is concerned. What kind of investment you have? Since you were born from child until Sarvamangalam, the end of your life, you manage to do many things. Your body, your speech, your mind, your speech. You do a lot of things. But the question here is, when he says, that time the Dharma will be my only help, means if you've done, practice of bodhicitta, if you've done a lot of volunteer work for well-being, if you've done a lot of good things for others, and that's an investment. Whereas if you've done a lot of selfish things by cheating, lying, trick, manipulating from other people's, and you come like that, you have to pay for it now. You can't. You pay the karma. You pay the consequences now. So that's what they're talking about here. At that time, the Dharma will be my only hope. Good karma, it go with you. Bad karma, it go with you, but it's not so helpful. It will be very harmful. And good karma, it will determine quality of your reincarnation, where you're gonna born, where you're gonna what realm you're gonna born, what form of body you're gonna form. It's all decision based on your karma. So that for that point, it says when impermanent occur to you, that time the Dharma will be your only help. Nothing else can help. Even you own 20 buildings or 100 millionth dollar you earn, you just have to say, I don't own anything. Bye-bye. That's it. If you can say that, but most people don't say that. They take the breath with what they own. They're thinking about that, unfortunately. I must practice it with exertion. Since time is short and death comes without warning, death comes without warning, I must practice it with exertion. Do good things right away. Pilgrimage is very good for you all, because more you see holy places, your spirit will go there. And also, blessings of the $1 to $1 million you sacrifice, that is investment for good karma. Pilgrimage is good. And also, generous towards your family, friends, and community is good investment. And so, we must practice impermanence. At that time, the Dharma will be my only help. I must practice it with exertion. So the whole world and in its inhabitants are impermanent. In particular, the life of beings like a bubble. Death comes without warning. This body will be a corpse. At that time, the Dharma will be my only help. I must practice it with exertion. So, question is, what Dharma practice do you got? Do you have? And if you don't have one, you should have one. You should get one, because that's something you might need it very badly. Because everything else that you accumulate must go, must leave behind. Because you don't want to let it go, but you don't really have any power, force to give it. Because you don't even know how to cover yourself with a cloth, because somebody had to cover the cloth, somebody had to carry you and move everything. And they call funeral service or something like that. Funeral service or something. Okay, now meditate impermanence. Next section is a karma. Karma, I have to remember that root text itself. Lena Dagracha said, Dibapan, Kovacha, Tad Dagracha, Lena Dagracha. The karma is the only position that you own, that you know, that you really have, you own for next reincarnation. Everything else you can take with you. The karma that you created are always, you own them, it's your shadow. So in order to get rid of karma, you have to get rid of. If you exist, the shadow follows. The shadow is inseparable with you. So the karma is like that. So let's talk about karma. Lena dagarcha cha dipapang. Give cha vetada davarcha. Next root saying, do positive things while you have opportunity. Since karma is your shadow, you shouldn't create a negative, because then you will have all negative karmas will follow you and you will experiencing negative karma all the time. Obstacles, life. So here I'm saying, when death comes, I will be helpless. Because I create a karma, I must abandon evil deeds and always devote myself to virtuous action. Virtuous action is do good things for others, helpful, kind, and compassion. Do good things for yourself, kindness, compassion. There's no side effect. People always say, Lama, I don't know how I can do good things for others, how good things to myself. I don't know where I draw a line, what is good, what is not good, how I know. So my answer is, if it's a helpful, positive, and helpful, it is good karma. If it's not so positive and not so helpful, but more like harmful, it will be negative. Can you judge that? Can you figure out that by using maximum your wisdom? I know you are confused, but I want you to use your all leftover wisdom that you have. See, you figure out what's good for you, what's not good for you, and draw a line. This is a good thing, this is a bad thing. I don't want to do, this is a good thing. You have to draw a line. Then you're doing a good job. As simple as that. Because you can't ask a grandma. Grandma is also confused. Or you can't talk to grandfather, he confused you. He has a lot of experience compared with you, but as far as the samsara, he still have his own problem. So, I must abandon evil deeds and always devote myself to virtuous action. Thinking this every day, I will examine myself. What a beautiful word. Examine myself. How many of you ever examine yourself every day? Almost like stars in the daytime. You don't see stars in the daytime. Nighttime, you see many stars. But the daytime, very difficult to start. So it's that special practice. If you examine yourself. Majority of people, what they do is examining and judging and criticizing and also judging others and complaining other people's what they do. So everything is opposite of what it says. Every day I will examine everybody else. When it comes to examine myself, I refuse to examine myself like that. Because I see my eyes open, I see everything, external things, that's only matters. I don't look at myself, and I don't judge myself. I don't really examine my mind, my monkey mind, my confused mind, my problem, my desire, my attachment. I don't want to go into there. It's much easier to complain something else, talking about others, people. That's what it says. So if you are a Buddhist Dharma practitioner and become a great Buddhist practitioner, then what you need to do is thinking this every day. You must examine your mind, examine yourself, your body, what you do with your body, your speech, what did you say, what your speech is involved with. what you're mentally, what you're thinking matters, because constant creating karma. And karma, it's your shadow. And it's your created, you have to pay for it, you have to take good care of it. Next, samsara is unsatisfactory. Unsatisfactory, we eat breakfast, we have to eat lunch. We eat lunch, we have to eat dinner. We have to sleep. Yesterday we sleep. Tonight we have to sleep. We have to wake up tomorrow. Everything we have to repeat again and again so much. Where is the essence? What is the point doing that? How long are we doing? Entire our life. So what was the point? Question. And always dissatisfied. Dissatisfied means that if money, power, and everything you have, you want more. How many of you say, I had enough, I don't want any more? How many of you said that? So that means wanting and needing is over-exercised. So therefore, unsatisfactory. So there are millionaires are not thinking about their millionaire. Millionaires, their goal is a billionaire. But if you don't have millionaire, if you have only $100, you can thinking about, I wish I can have $1,000. If you work for $10, you're thinking about, oh, if I get a job for $15 an hour, I will, all my complaint will I draw back. But if you are making 15, 20, if you're 20, 30, 35. So the satisfaction is unsatisfactory because still there's a lot of room to go like that. So it says in chapter 4 here from the four reminder, last one, the homes, friends, wealth, and comfort of samsara are the constant torment of the three sufferings. The three sufferings are very important to know. Dungha ja dungha, jurvut dungha, chapan duji ja dungha. Dungha ja dungha, suffering from other suffering. You already have suffering, brings your friend. That will another suffering. So suffering brings other suffering. Let's say you have suffering to pay the bill, but while you are making money, you have other suffering to deal with. Suffering of the suffering. And chapan dujiji suffering is once you have physical body, there is a conditions for elements, and if you fail to balance elements, you are not feeling well. You are sicky. You are not functioning well. That will be a sickness. The elements within our body, not balanced. So that will be chapan duji means suffering or pervasiveness that everybody have to deal with that. Suffering of sufferings. Chapan duji je suffering. Dunga je dunga. Juba dunga, suffering of changing. So let's say you have very good job. Pay lots of money. But deep down, you're worried that you will lose this. I don't know if you experienced that or not, but deep down, you're thinking about you're going to lose this. You're already suffering while you're enjoying working, making the money, but you're suffering already. And that goes with the relationship with the boyfriend, girlfriend, and just name it anything. And there's a suffering. And the suffering of changing. And you may have a home, but suffering of losing the home. Home. So if you don't have a home, it's go homeless. There is more suffering. When you have home, you're suffering because you're going to lose the home. But when you don't have home, you're homeless. Of course you're suffering. You're homeless. So no waning. No waning, but there's no win. You cannot win. There is always suffering there. Because that the samsara is unsatisfactory. Unsatisfactory. Just like a peace before the executioner leads you to your death. No explanation for that because we talk negative things enough. I must cut the desire. Well, let's talk that one. So how much you cut? Majority of people, even they say they are Buddhist practitioner, you don't change anything, you don't cut any, reduce anything, but you say, I've been practicing Dharma a long time ago. Where is my result? You did not change anything. You did not cut your desire. You did not change anything. You want a Dharma practice, make realization come to you. You want experiencing a supernatural power in the Dharma. You didn't change anything. Hello, did you forget something? Let's meditate. So, that will be the conclusion of the talk, and I'm glad I able to share you four reminders in my way of explaining, of course. Precious human life, you need to work on that. You need to meditate upon impermanence. Life is impermanent. You need to practice karma, understand the karma cause and effect. And as I say, karma is your shadow. In order to get rid of the karma, you have to negate karma, reduce, positive karma, increase. Last one is samsara is unsatisfactory. Even we born in a samsara, if you begin to experiencing life is a satisfactory and happy, feel precious human life, then samsara is unsatisfactory, will be satisfactory in your life because you change the karma negative into positive. So these four reminders, separately use meditation, separately you can practice, and then one by one, if you know this practice well, you have a basic foundation of Buddhism, and which is very important. Thank you very much.